Welcome to Unearthed. I'm John Reed, market strategist for the World Gold Council in London.
And I'm Joe Cavatoni, market strategist based in New York.
We recently traveled to Barcelona for the London Bullion Market Association's Global Precious Metals Conference, one of the many annual events where we have the opportunity to talk to the entire gold industry.
At the conference, we sat down with several thought leaders, essentially to ask them two core questions. What stood out to them in the gold market in 2023? And where do we see it heading in 2024?
Before we dive into some of these conversations, Joe, what themes or insights emerged from you and your time at the conference?
Most interesting for me was the fact that everyone is keenly awaiting some form of clarity around monetary policy. We've talked a lot about it. We hear about it regularly in the press. But when they see and get that clarity, the upbeat tone and some of the very, very interesting predictions on price are exciting for 2024. And we're going to see some really interesting potential developments in the gold market next year.
From my side, I was impressed by the record numbers that attended the conference. It's the first time the LBMA has actually had to close off registrations before the conference started. So I think that shows you the enthusiasm to attend this conference in person. And I think the overall tone was pretty upbeat as well from the people that trade gold and move it around the world, refine it and turn it into products. This is in, I'd say, stark contrast to the downbeat tone that we've both noted attending gold mining equity conferences through the course of this year.
I would agree. I think that upbeat tone is very interesting, and I think people will hear it when they listen to these interviews. And with that, let's dig into the conversations. Hi, I'm here at the 23rd Annual London Bullion Market Association Conference in Barcelona. Today, I'm joined by Greg Scheer, Head of Base and Precious Metals Research for JP Morgan. Great to have you here, Greg.
Thanks for having me, John.
You know, we want to talk a little bit about the gold market, and why don't we start off by asking you what you think have been the most interesting or influential trends and activity that you've seen for the gold market this year so far?
Obviously, central bank buying has dominated it since early 2022. I think from my perspective, where I get the most amount of questions is not really a trend, but it's just gold's resilience. With the trends higher in yields and the super aggressive hiking cycle, that old model 2006 to 2021 with real yield seems to have really dislocated. And so trying to kind of explain, well, what are we seeing in terms of longer term inflation expectations of people using gold in different ways that we maybe haven't seen since the 1970s or central banks diversification, you know, all of these couple of things I think are adding up to this resilience that we've seen gold prices really have. And I think that there's a lot of interest in that and a lot of wonder about, well, how is it doing this to some degree? So right. I think that's been, I'd say, the most active questions coming into me.
That's excellent. Now, speaking about inflation and interest rates, which have really dominated the discussion, as you've said, where do you think the U.S. economy is headed? And how do you think that that will play itself out? Will we be looking at a soft landing, recession? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, so our U.S. economists have a soft landing. So we have growth essentially stalling, I'd say, over the first half of 24. So about 0.5% quarter over quarter annualized GDP growth. So it's definitely quite weak, but it's not something that is an outright recession. With that, they have a longer view that the Fed is on hold for now, eventually begins to cut beginning in the third quarter of 24. I would say, though, the whole thing about a recession is it's a nonlinear break, right? And humans think linearly. So I think that's something that our economists are constantly also debating among themselves because, look, we haven't really seen a modern example of a soft landing after a synchronized global DM central bank hiking cycle. So there's still some pretty significant risk here that maybe we're still in this lagged period. So I'd say soft landing is the base case, but the risks are clearly skewed towards, I think, a miscalibration in terms of what the Fed's done and the lags catching up.
We've had a lot of talk around what's this narrative going to look like? How's it going to play out? You know, what we've been seeing in our demand trends has been quite interesting and actually supporting what you've said, that floor for gold. But looking out to 2024, what is your outlook for gold?
Yeah, so we hold a pretty medium-term, very bullish outlook for gold. So I've been doing a lot of work in trying to, like I was saying, explain this resilience. gold has a bit of an asymmetric relationship with real yields. So
right.
we look at this mono daily regression and it looks like it's one thing. But when you start to piece that into, well, what's the Fed doing at different times? Put it in different buckets. What I actually begin to see is that when the Fed is hiking and yields are moving higher, gold displays this typical resilience. Now, it looks a bit more extreme because we've had such an extreme hiking cycle. But the important thing is that when that flips to a high hold and then a cutting cycle, what you see is that inverse beta really begins to strengthen quite a lot. So you have this ratchet-like convexity in gold. And I think that's going to play out again, right? So we don't even have the recession, but we do have that Fed cutting cycle come through. I think that then becomes the primary driver and you switch from resilience to a breakout.
Interesting.
And I think that's probably followed through with investors, which now it's expensive to hold gold, right? If you're thinking on the futures, there's quite a punitive contango to roll through. So you need to be right in your timing. And so when it becomes a crystallized certainty that the next move imminently from the Fed is going to be a cut, that's when I think we see this flood into particular, you know, ETFs, investment in futures and options as well. And that's what, in my view, eventually carries us and we break the triple top that we've had in place, so, you know, over since COVID. So from my perspective, what we're seeing is basically by the end of 2024, we have a $2,175 per ounce forecast. So we think we're kind of range bound through the final twists and turns of this Fed cutting cycle. But then beginning around mid-2024 is where we see a much more bullish upside developing.
A breakout moment for gold, so to speak.
Exactly.
That's great. It's been Greg Scheer from JP Morgan. And thanks very much for joining us today.
Thank you.
I'm joined today by Nikos Kavalis from Metals Focus. Thanks for joining me, Nikos.
Thanks for having me, John.
What's the most interesting or the most influential trend activity you've seen in the gold market so far this year, Nikos?
Well, like a good analyst, I would say, can I please have two, John?
You may.
Thank you very much. So one would clearly be something that was happening from the second half of last year, really. The continued strength of official sector activity.
Mm.
We've had some very good numbers year to date. And frankly, if it hadn't been for the sales that we saw from Turkey earlier in the year, I suspect we would have had another record high
yeah.
in 2023 overall. So that's certainly been a very important, I'd say, activity or factor in the market. The other has been the very interesting mismatch or contradiction between different areas of physical investment, retail investment demand in the world. You see, on the one hand, Western markets being quite weak for good reasons. You know, had many very strong years, so the market does eventually get saturated. Prices have been very high. Importantly, we've had the cost of living crisis, rising mortgages, plus rising interest rates, which encourage people to keep cash in the bank.
Yep.
So we've seen, let's say, kind of expected reaction from these markets, perhaps a bit harder than I would have expected. The decline has been a bit stronger than I would have expected. And then against that, we see demand in the traditionally far more price elastic markets being not so bad. Yes, of course, it's down, but the sensitivity of demand to prices hasn't been as strong. And in fact, we've had some markets where we've had increases. China, of course, for very special reasons
sure.
because of the pandemic last year. But, you know, you look at a market like Japan, where you've had all-time highs in the local gold price. And yes, you've had quite significant liquidations, but you've also seen decent gross buying.
There seems to be a bit of a change taking place in Japan, and it's something that we highlighted in our last Gold Demand Trends publication.
Yeah, and look, in many ways, it is a surprise, but it's a surprise that's easy enough to explain. You have a country where, for the first time in probably a generation, they're seeing significant inflation. And you also have some really deep and understandable concerns about their currency.
And moving on, inflation and interest rates have dominated a lot of the discussion this year, not just obviously in Japan. What is your thinking about the global or maybe the US economy and where that's headed? The debate about recession versus soft landing. Which side do you fall on that?
We're probably close to the soft landing, certainly for the United States. The reason behind this is even if the slowdown accelerates, the starting point is really quite comfortable. Unemployment is at levels that we haven't seen since the 60s.
Yeah.
For example, if you look at month by month, big economic prints tend to be either in line or exceeding expectations by and large. I think that market has room to weaken without going into dangerous recession territory. And please let me be clear here. I'm not ruling out technical recession, so to speak, but I'm more talking about, you know, the really dark days of unemployment doubling, you know, people not being able to meet mortgage payments and the like.
Sure. Okay. Useful. And what do you expect for gold next year?
Well, we're moderately cautious, I would say. Mm-hmm. So we think that in an environment where interest rates are probably going to stay high for quite a long time, particularly if you consider that inflation is likely to continue declining over that period, which means that real yields, real short-term rates will probably inch up a bit. I think it's hard to avoid a bit of weakness in the gold price. Having said that, there is a background of, you know, a very strong case for investing in gold or diversifying as a reserve manager into gold. So we think that the declines will be cushioned. So I would be surprised if from current levels we see more than 10, just over thereabouts, percent declines.
Care to stick a number on that, or is it too soon to have a forecast?
No, we have a forecast that we're comfortable to share that. I mean, in terms of the low that we will reach before the end of next year, we're probably looking at something in the 1700 or just shy of 1700, yeah, just around that level.
Nicholas Cavallis, thank you very much.
I'm joined today by Danielle Boliari, who is principal at CNT Incorporated. Danielle, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Let's start off with a pretty basic question. You know, what are some of the most interesting and influential trends that you've actually seen over the course of the year for the gold market?
So the gold market's been interesting this year. I think we've all been waiting to see what is post-COVID exactly. How does that define itself? We definitely saw a slowdown over the summer, which matches perhaps more traditionally than we expect in our market. The summer, especially in the United States, which is such a large market.
Yep.
You're talking people on holidays, things like that. So it slows down a bit. We did see that this year. It picked up now. So looking in Q3, Q4. Now, how much of that is us finding whatever our new normal is, though I'll admit I hate that phrase. How much of that, especially in the past week, is related to the very unfortunate global events? Waits to be seen.
Right. We
did see obviously a very large rise in the price in the past, say, week or so, that about $60 move.
Right.
It did generate some more activity, but not as much as you would think for such a sizable move, which leads me to believe people are still waiting to see what shoe's going to drop, unfortunately. We are seeing a bit more in the secondary market coming in. Still not as robust as it was pre-COVID.
Okay.
But some buybacks coming back, which perhaps indicates that we're getting back into more of a two-way market where COVID was very much a one-way flow of metal going out.
Right.
So top-down, that secondary market had all but disappeared. So it hasn't come back and become incredibly robust yet, but it'll be interesting to see if that reappears or how that reappears. It will reappear, but at what level, when does it, and then where do we kind of suss out? I thought perhaps we were finding our new base.
Right.
But world events, I think, are certainly going to put a bit of a blip into figuring out what that is.
That's right. It's very interesting. We often hear about people looking to rotate out of bonds or equities. And I think it's actually something people should appreciate, that when cash is idle, that appreciation for gold as a component of a portfolio, cash is another bucket of resource that could go towards investing in gold and broader precious metals. And I know that you deal not only in gold, but in silver and other precious metals. So for 2024, how do you feel about gold? What are you thinking around the gold price? What are people expecting in your traffic? And also, are there other metals that you might want to highlight as something to keep an eye on?
So as far as the gold price, we are a hedge house. I like it to move. Movement inspires business for us.
Right.
I'm glad my job's actually not predicting where this is going to go, because I am not feeling overly confident in knowing where it's going to move. But looking at the metals, I mean, silver is something we do a lot with. It's certainly at a price point that's more attractive to people. It does have a bit of a funny identity crisis in the fact that it's a heavy industrial metal. So I think a lot of people see it for its industrial purpose. But it does become, it's a good investment tool, especially for someone, if you're talking 1900, 2000 gold. So that's a big number.
Right.
$20, $25, $27 silver, that, you know, there's a huge price difference there. You start getting into the PGMs, again, you have to be a bit of a braver soul to invest there.
Right. Much smaller markets, much more complicated to understand.
Liquidity is a little harder. It's not quite as robust. It's a little harder to understand. The prices can swing quite a bit. Yes, there's an ability for a great gain, but there's also the flip on that loss side.
Sure.
So if you're not taking that into industrial use, don't find that tends to be where your investors are going. That seems to be money that they're
right.
A little bit more spec playing with it. that's a little more Vegas style, yeah. I would look at it. But going into the silver and gold option, there are people that definitely like having a percentage of their portfolio in each metal, which kind of gives them a little bit of a hedge there. And just to have that. And again, to your point with a currency right now, you can get bonds, you can get things with amazingly good rates that you could never get before.
Sure.
Cash, actually, you can do something with it. But having that, whether it's 5-10% of your portfolio that you sit and say,
yeah,
this is, if things start going a bit south, at least I have something. And I think that's something we're potentially going to see more of, because it's, at least to me, it seems like there's been more unrest over one thing or another in the past 15 years than there has not. And we seem to be going through a cycle, as it does in history, but we've hit a cycle where we're in more of an unrest period. So until we come out of that, and I think people feel a bit more confident, not just in the US, but globally, we're more of a settled, unified group of people than we are right now.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. Going into 2024, we've got an election year in play, which will always be fun to watch. Or scary to watch, depending on how you take a look at it.
It's going to be entertaining, even if it's like watching a train wreck.
Yeah, which it might be. We often get pleasantly surprised by the numbers on the retail side in terms of borrowing coin demand. You know, we've had record-setting quarters over the last year and a half, and it continues. So it's been great to spend some time with you, get your perspective on things. So, Danielle, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I truly appreciate it.
I'm delighted to be joined by Ross Norman, who is the CEO of Metals Daily. Hi, Ross.
Hello.
So I've got a few questions for you. We're speaking to a number of participants in the conference to get a broad range of views about the gold market. And I'll start off by saying, what's the most interesting or influential trend you've seen in the gold market so far this year?
Well, interesting and influential are different. Influential, it has to be central bank buying, of course. But let's move beyond that. You've probably covered that an awful lot.
A bit, yes.
Interesting, I find. I mean, I have a very eclectic approach to the gold market. I look at different sectors, and like the market itself, it kind of rotates on focusing on monsoons, and silver occasionally does a little bit of running for it and so on. The market that I've really looked at is the physical markets, the coin and bars markets, and dislocations in that sector. I was interested in your recent figures that showed that Germany was bigger than India, primarily a jewelry market, last year, just behind China.
Yeah.
Germany's a huge market, and the European market for physical coins and bars has been phenomenal for 4 years, 4 or 5 years. But it has taken a significant reversal. That interests me, on the whys and wherefores attached to that.
It came as a big surprise to us when we got the numbers for GDT for the first quarter, just how much German bar and coin demand had declined. And that decline continued into the second quarter as well.
Mm.
What do you think lies behind that, Ross?
First of all, it's pan-European, not just Germany, of course. In Germany's case, it reached something of an epic stop at Christmas, when silver VAT increased significantly. Funny enough, it seemed to influence gold at the same time. Unquestionably, gold reaching near all-time highs in euro terms, for sure. Some sense that inflation may be, the worst may be behind us, perhaps partly to play. Less negative interest rates on bank deposits.
And I guess the fact that the European economy is slowing as well.
Less disposable income.
Exactly. And inflation may be slowing, but prices are still high. And I think that that's squeezing consumers a bit as well.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
So inflation and interest rates have dominated a lot about the discussions we've heard this year.
Yeah.
Where do you think the economy is headed? Are we looking for a recession in the US? Or do you think that they'll manage to pull off the soft landing?
Let's get back to the 70s for a moment. The first one was shot 73, 76.
Somewhere around there.
When did gold peak? 80.
80, indeed.
Yeah. So gold doesn't necessarily respond immediately to those key drivers. And I think there's some sense of disappointment that gold hasn't behaved more stronger in this environment. But of course, it's had significant headwinds, an epically strong dollar and the US Treasury yields as well. So it's had those headwinds, up 7% year to date, a little bit below the run rate, if you like. All things considered, not a bad year with those headwinds in mind. Is inflation sticky? Well, we heard in recent presentations from central bankers that it tends to be so. It tends to bounce back. You get these echoes, don't you? I suspect we're going to have the same thing here. Are we back to the 70s? Yeah, potentially kind of. Edison actually wrote a nice gold research piece saying back to the 70s, worth looking at. So my sense is inflation certainly isn't dead. Certainly the Fed have turned a little bit more dovish, haven't they? The chances of a rate rise, I think, in November now have fallen from about 44% down to 7%. So if I cast my mind back to where I was back at the beginning of the year when it came to the gold price forecast, we said then that we thought the gold would nudge the all-time high of 2075. It's done that. We thought the average would be around 1950. It'll be below that figure. What we got wrong is perhaps the strength of the dollar. You know, the optimistic outlook for the economy in the US has certainly played against gold. If that's leading to, so where from here? You know, you've done forecasts in your life, John. It's a mug's game.
It is a mug's game. But if you don't want to give a numeric forecast, perhaps just talk about what your expectations are for the gold market next year.
Positive, but not outrageously so. I mean, gold's got this, always this wonderful righting factor. We're rather like a ship at sea. That lovely lead keel ensures it has a steady, safe journey through the waters. It doesn't do a Bitcoin.
Yeah,
it's never quite as bouncy as you hope, never quite as bad as you fear. And that's gold for you. It has its righting factor because if it's too high, then scrap comes into the markets as parts of the market start to wane. And if it's cheap enough, people will buy it during markets kick in, etc. So it's got this natural righting or mean reversion tendency to it. The run rate since 1971 is around 9%, between 9 and 10%.
Depends which currency, but yeah, that round.
In US dollar terms and spot basis, this year will be a little bit below that. It'll be somewhere in that region.
Yeah.
Positive, but not outrageously so. What worries me is that we seem to be living, and this again came up in the speeches from James King and McWilliam, in a vulnerable world where, you know, tail events seem to be quite a regular feature.
Sure.
So one has to bear in mind, who knows? But my sense is positive.
It strikes me as well that with these tail risks around, I wouldn't be comfortable being short gold at the moment, even if the economic fundamentals were to tell me I should, just simply because there's been so many more events around. You know, as we've seen over the last couple of weeks, I mean, that's really playing out at the moment.
Yeah, so it's sketchy about those sort of event-driven price. I mean, we hit, 8% on the Russian war?
Yeah.
We've got 5% here, which took us up 5% year-to-date. Thank you for that. But, you know, my suspicion is a lot of that's short-covering rallies. And if I'm right, number one, that's where silver comes useful, by the way. It kind of authenticates or not the move in gold. And in this particular case, gold-silver ratio unchanged, 85, is telling me that there's not a herd into gold, herd movement into gold.
Yeah, that's a very good observation, that one, useful. Ross, thank you very much for your time. So that's Ross Norman, CEO of Metals Daily.
Thank you. John, thank you.
I'm joined today by Vimal Das, Managing Director and Global Head of Metals at BMO. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, John. Happy to be here.
So, you know, we've had a very interesting year, but we'd like to hear from you some of what are the most interesting and influential trends that you've seen for the gold market over the course of 2023.
From our perspective, I think the first thing we saw this year, and it's, you know, fairly public information, the activity from the central bank space. They've been a very strong supporter and laid a foundation, I think, for the price. So every time you saw gold prices pull back, the interest from investors, interest from the central banks, and investors included hedge funds, pension funds, asset managers, but also in increasingly large numbers, retail clients as well. All of that provided a huge backstop to gold prices and made sure that prices didn't fall below a certain point. And of course, gold is a very strong hedge against inflation and geopolitical events. And as we saw recently over the last weekend, that when gold was in danger of slipping to 1700s, it bounced back up and is trading above 1900 again.
Yeah.
So I think from our perspective, that trend's going to continue. But this year was probably the story of central banks.
It's very interesting for sure. We've seen that in our gold demand trends as well. And also, again, you know, pleasantly surprised on the retail flows, in particular in markets like the U.S., where we see some record quarters that have hit the year this year in terms of the demand that's been showing there. When we talk about inflation and interest rates, and that's been a big discussion topic amongst particularly the financial markets, it's dominated a lot of the discussion. But where do you think we're going to look, and how's that narrative going to develop when we come out of this cycle that we're in, the outlook for the U.S. economy?
So this is my personal view, but my view is that some of the linkages to inflation that have been dominant or have been a dominating theme for gold prices or bullish gold prices, I don't think they hold true to the same extent as they did historically. But they've been supplanted by other factors which are equally, if not more compelling, than say the inflation theme.
Right.
Geopolitics is one of them.
Right.
Then the flight to safety because of geopolitics. But I think increasingly interest rates, right? When you look at interest rates, if you go back to the 2010, 2011 times, when gold was trading at 1900 and they started increasing interest rates, we went back down to 1,050 or so. And we did it very quickly. You know, there's this old saying, gold and silver take the stairs up and the elevator down.
Right.
And we went down very quickly, but that's not happening this time around. Gold's holding its own. Silver's actually fairly strong, but gold's holding its own at around the 1750 to 2000 range. And we expect that there will be one more rate hike this year, probably right. one in Q1. And the Fed will probably try to last for as long as they can
at these high levels
to hold the rates high. But there's no doubt that at some point of time, you know, they've got to cut the rates.
They've got to reverse the trend.
If that happens, that's probably going to be a huge boost for gold prices. We've been of the belief that gold prices are stable at around the 1750 to 2000 range. But at the same time, that's also providing a foundation. Unless something fundamentally breaks down, we think that provides a foundation for gold to trade about 2000. How long it will stay up, how long it can sustain it at those levels is still to be seen. These same factors will drive those pricing decisions for funds and others. But we think that gold at 2200, 2300,
is that a number you think that might be achievable in 2024?
Yes.
When should we kind of get a sense of that narrative, that cycle of rate cuts coming? Is that a early mid-year towards the tail end of that year?
I think the longer they hold, the volume of chatter about it will reach a crescendo, right? So right. there's already chatter about it,
right.
but I think they'll ignore that for the time being. And the Feds and other regulators are helped by how strong some of the economies are doing.
Right.
And I think the latest news that comes out of the U.S. supports that narrative as well, that unemployment is low. It could even tick a little lower, right?
Right.
Things like that. But you're also going to come into the cycle where the U.S. elections are coming up. And at that time, you're going to have issues around unemployment ticking higher. Jobs report, as they report them, if they become worse and worse and worse, then gold will come into its own. That's my conviction. And I think we'll see probably the second part of next year, we should see gold probably start moving higher.
Right. I think that seems to be a pretty popular consensus that people are feeling that there's a good opportunity for gold to perform.
No, it's one thing to say that gold could trade at those levels. It's another thing to be able to go out and put out a conviction for a trade because
sure.
timing is everything. And you've got to be able to time it right, you know, do it for the right reasons and step into the trade at the right time. So as is always the case, there's never the best or right or optimal time to invest.
Right.
You probably have to take a view that for the longer term, this is an asset where you want to park your money and invest and be defensive. And if that's the case, then you layer into it in small volumes over a longer period of time. I think that's the best strategy for most people. It's what I would do in my personal life as well, no
right.
matter what underlying asset we invest in. There's a compelling argument. And from our perspective, our customers are our customers, right? So mining clients are not going to go away. It's not like gold needs to trade at 2200 for the market to be very strong.
Right.
It could trade at 1600 and continue to be very strong. But I think that all these factors, when you pull them in together, the case for 2200 or 2300 is pretty strong. How long it'll stay that high,
right?
That's to be seen.
That's excellent. We often talk to clients around understanding the tactical behavior around gold and the emotion around the movements and the price volatility that you see, but stay that long-term strategic course and add the allocation to your portfolio. And the range between 2, 5, 7% is where we advocate for people adding it to their portfolio.
I mean, if you have 8 rate cuts coming,
right?
You know, where would you want gold to be? At 1900 or 1000? Right? There's no doubt we
right.
want it at 1900. But it's not that you and I wanted it in 1900. That's what the market thinks that gold should be trading at this point in time. So I think there's a compelling reason why it's there. There's a compelling argument for gold to outperform when rate cuts come in.
Great. Well, this has been great to have a chat with you. Thanks for joining us here and really enjoyed our conversation.
Thank you.
I'm here with Jim Steele, Chief Precious Metals Analyst at HSBC.
Thank you, John. Thank you for having me.
So, Jim, I really appreciate you taking some time from your really busy schedule. Jim's going to be summarizing the conference at the end of the second day. I know from personal experience just how much work is involved in that. So I'll cut to the chase. We've got a few questions here. The first one, what's the most interesting or influential trend you've seen in the gold market so far this year?
I think this year it's been the resumption of the influence of positive real rates. The market disconnected on that level last year for some very good reasons, like central bank buying and very, very strong retail buying. And we've seen that come back more into the line, particularly since about May and June. Earlier this year, there was an idea that the US would head into a recession, there'd be rate cuts, so gold got a rally. But as yields have come back and they remain, you know, quite strongly positive, we've seen gold, with the exception of the last couple of weeks, resume that inverse relationship to a greater degree.
Yeah, I think that's very true. And certainly inflation and interest rates have dominated a lot of discussion this year. What are you calling for in the US economy? Are we going to see a recession, a soft landing? What is HSBC's view there?
We are not looking for a recession. Happy to say that we sort of stuck to our guns earlier in the year when it was really very dicey as to whether we were going into a recession or not. The labor markets remain strong. Output is high. We may get a softish landing on that front, given that we still see the Fed tackling inflation. We're not looking for interest rate cuts until the second half of the year, amounting to two separate 25 basis point cuts, one in Q3, one in Q4.
Pretty much where the market consensus is at the moment, become much more comfortable, I think, with the outlook for the US economy and don't see the need for aggressive rate cuts by the Fed. Of course, if we do get a recession, all those bets will be off. But for the time being, I certainly have to agree the US economy is looking pretty strong. So what are you expecting for the gold market in 2024? And if you can talk about a forecast number, that'd be great.
Yes, I certainly can. And despite the fact that we're looking for two pretty bearish things, which is a strong dollar going out to 2024, mm-hmm. and also positive real rates and no rate cuts until the second half of the year. So despite those two things, I think we're pretty positive on the gold price. We have an average of 1,825, which I understand fully is below where we are now. But on a historical basis, it's not a bad level. If you consider that maybe $50, $60 recently was off of some tragic events in the Middle East, that may begin to come back out of the market as things stabilize. That's been the nature of geopolitical impacts on gold.
Very much so.
But we are seeing elevated geopolitical risk. We've seen it for several years now compared to the previous 15 years. And that's going to keep us fairly high. The central banks were good buyers around 1850 last year. Anything below that would bring them back in, I think. That combination, any strike below 1800, I think would likely encourage retail buying again. And so that's why I think the floor is pretty firm. There's just too much risk for it to go much lower. But a strong dollar and positive real rates kind of makes it expensive for gold over 1900.
Well, I think you've explained that very well. And it's a very coherent and joined up forecast, I'd say, Jim. So that's Jim Steele, Chief Precious Metals Analyst at HSBC. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you, Don.
This has been an on-the-ground episode of the Unearthed podcast, and thank you for listening. We hope to have many of these guests back on for full episodes.